Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, guiding you to a career in financial services. This episode originally aired on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Make sure you join me each week as I share with you information on how to become a financial professional and the things you should be considering as you navigate down this career path. Without further ado, here's this week's episode. Hey everybody, this is Dominique. I got this question a few months ago and I decided it deserved a video to discuss it at length to give you the skinny on all the different ways to become a financial advisor without a college degree. Get the pen and paper out. Thanks, Roosevelt, for the question. I think it's a great one. I think the real question we're dealing with here is, do you need a college degree to become a financial advisor? And the answer is unequivocally and simply, no. Good night, everyone. We'll see you later. That's it. Although it's a simple answer or an easy answer, the path to get there is not simple, right? There's a way to get there. And I want to talk about maybe three scenarios under which you may become a financial advisor with or without a college degree, because there are some people out there that are watching that have gone through college or almost going to be finished. And I don't want to exclude you either. So let's look at it from both angles with these three scenarios. All right. Scenario one is the what I call the traditional route, right? So traditionally, you will go to school, have some type of business background or business degree that you're studying for, whether that be finance, economics, business management, marketing, accounting, whatever. You can take that background and go ahead and finish school, because why not? You're almost all the way there. You're already there. You're not going to want to look up 4 or 5 or 10 years down the road and say, oh man, I wish I would have checked the box of college. Go ahead and finish that. There's nothing wrong with the traditional route. There are plenty of people, I would say a large portion of financial professionals come through the traditional route. So this is an okay thing to do. So the traditional route would mean, just for clarity, that you would do 4 years at a school or 2 years at a junior college and then maybe two more at a four-year university and earn your bachelor's degree in some type of finance-related field. I would say, first of all, get a job, start getting some experience. And the reason that you're going to have the advantage with the college degree is the college degree is going to allow you to parlay that into advanced designations. For instance, the CFP currently does not allow you to sit for that exam without the education requirement being filled, which is going to be a four-year degree. So this is a real good way to parlay your college, going down the traditional route, into something like a CFP. Now, you'll want to get your experience and you want to do all those things, but it does set you up for being able to have more money in your pocket later down in your career because of the background and, you know, just the way that that path is usually walked is that you are set up later in your life to be compensated more. So that's the traditional route. And I'll add one more thing. The CFP Planning Board of Standards has put a lot of money into the marketing of this degree, the awareness around it. And so the public is very familiar with this as opposed to other designations or people without the designation. What you want to always consider is not necessarily the fact that the three letters behind the name is going to help you build a business. Not necessarily. It does relate to that or it does correlate to that. But at the end of the day, what you have to realize is the public perception of somebody that has those three letters behind their name has been very strategic with all these different involved parties, including the CFP board, that has put that image and that idea in the public's mind. So you want to, you know, capture that momentum. And that's the beauty about going the traditional route. If you go the traditional route, you're going to capture a lot of that momentum. And, you know, practicing in the next 5 to 10 years, that's going to be something that's really, really huge. But I do have something for you guys that don't want to go the traditional route. But if you want to go the traditional route, make sure you check out the video up in the cards that I've done on the pathway to the CFP to get more information about that. Let's move on to scenario two. All right, scenario two would be, let's say you started college, but you didn't finish, or you're on the fence right now about going. You're like, I really don't want to do it. Maybe you've had a taste of the financial services industry through, you know, somebody you know, a mentor, a relative. And you're like, I want to go ahead and try that without the college. And what I would say is the best route to do this is to get a mentor. Have a mentor that already is in the business. Maybe you're interning with them or you have a job in their office or something like that that's exposing you to it. And you want to kind of get your feet wet before you go whole hog into this this service career and start, you know, doing a college degree, and maybe you have to take out loans and you just don't want to go that route. And that's okay. So I understand that. And what I would say is, if you have a mentor that has experience in the field that can start to translate some of that to you, what you may typically find is that you end up going into a money center bank or a regional bank, and you start on their retail banking side, learning about the business, and then eventually moving through maybe some type of training or management program. I actually did an interview with Ash Exantis that I'll link up in the card that talks about his path that was very similar to that. Hey, Dominique here, and I hope you are really enjoying this week's episode. Look, if you're a current or aspiring financial professional and you'd like to join a community of like-minded individuals that I'm sharing my 20 plus years of experience with, make sure you visit my website at www.djh-capital.com for more information. Now back to this week's episode. So what I will say is that a lot of people go down this path with some or no college. You know, they may enter through that money center bank relationship, like I just said, or they may start off selling like a product, an insurance product or something like that, get really good at it and just move through the industry. Those things can all happen. And a lot of great gals and guys have went down that path. Here's my word of caution to you. You always need to chase your ambition instead of the money. And what do I mean by that? If you chase your passion and your ambition and what you're truly about, the money will come. You never want to start selling a product or a service that you don't believe in just because of the money, because that's a very slippery slope. And usually when you start to slide down the slope, it's hard to get back to the top. Now, scenario three is, I have a special soft spot for these people. And these are the people that are career changers. Let's say you were an engineer or you were a teacher, and then you were done with that career. For whatever reason, you burned out, you left that career, and you said, you know what? I really like helping people with finances, and I really want to look at this financial coaching or financial advisor path thing. And I applaud you, because first of all, it takes a lot of guts to start over. And that's essentially what you're doing. And I think what I find is people that I talk to that are career changers like this, they're typically more genuine. Not to say they're necessarily better people. It's just that they've lived life, they've experienced things, and they seem to be so more passionate and real about what they're going to try to do now. Maybe because they're getting a second shot, or I don't know what it is, but my heart goes out to you guys, and I really want to help you here. So in this particular case, I don't differ too much from what I named in scenario two as the path. I would highly, highly weight the ability to stay in your current career path. Hopefully you haven't already burned out and moved away, but stay there and then maybe volunteer, find you a mentor that you can get some experience, get your feet wet to see exactly what road you want to go down. And while you're building up that financial runway for when you make the switch over, it won't be so hard, because it can be really hard when you have no experience, no background, no finance background, and you're just trying to start this from scratch, and you have no runway or no income. You don't have a sponsor, like my wife says, you know, someone that is maybe working in the family or whatnot. So it can be really difficult. So I would say the real thing to do is to maybe try to volunteer, or, you know, shadow some type of person that is already doing this, so you can try to get some experience and try to see where you're going to go with this and build up your network. Because you're starting from scratch. You have nothing here. All your contacts are in your previous industry. So that would be, I think, very similar to scenario two. But in this particular case, wait your time and your energy spent on trying to volunteer first before you go full time into this industry. What I do say you have going for you is that because you've had, you know, usually, you know, 5 to 10, maybe even 15 years to evaluate your own money habits, the lifestyles of your friends and family, you come into this industry as a career changer with so much more perspective. And to be honest, a lot of programs, money center banks, I won't name any names here, make sure you DM me for those. They are looking for those career changers with that more well-rounded perspective instead of somebody that just came fresh out of college. They're looking for those people too, but they really are looking for career changers that have a wider perspective, that can go into a situation with a more comprehensive approach because they've experienced more life at that point. So you have a lot going for you, so don't be discouraged. Thanks again, Roosevelt, for the question. It was such a great one. I'm curious to know, which one do you find yourself in? Are you scenario 1, 2, or 3? Let me know down in the comments, and I would love to speak with you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it, and it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.